Okay, last time we talked about the case of a person who acquires a kli from a non-Jew, a used kli. Before he actually is able to use it, he has to do two things. He has to do hechsher for the kli, he has to kasher the kli, and he has to be tovo the kli. So that discussion actually is a beautiful bridge between the two parts of our Junzman. We spent the first part of Junzman discussing tevilas kelim, and now for the next couple of shiurim, we're going to talk about hechsher kelim, how to kasher kelim. This idea of hechsher kelim applies not only if you buy used kelim from a non-Jew, it applies even if a Yisrael has a kli that became non-kosher for some reason. He made a mistake, and he was a milchika kli, and now and he cooked basar, he cooked meat in the kli, or let's say it was some tray for food. Let's say he didn't realize that the meat that he bought from the store was actually nevela, and then they later found out. There have been cases recently like that. So a person has to kasher their own kelim, even if he's not going to do a tevila. We said a kli that became non-kosher in the home of a Jew does not require tevila. Even though a kli, a used kli that you buy from a non-Jew, does require both hechsher and tevila, the Rishonim assume that if it became non-kosher in the home of the Jew, there is no requirement for tevila. Why? Because you don't have to be megayer the kli. It has a kedushas Yisrael. It already is in the home of the Jew, so therefore it doesn't require tevila, but it still requires hechsher. So the question is, how exactly is a person machshir their kelim? How can they kasher their kelim if they become treif, if they become non-kosher? So this is the brisa that we actually read last time. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah and the Afayin Hamad Bey quotes a long brisa that delineates three different types of hechsher. The brisa says if a person used the kli b'tzonen, he used the kli in cold, so then he doesn't have to put the kli through any rigorous procedure of hechsher. He just has to wash it off to make sure that there's no be'en, there's no solid particles on the kli. But then the Gemara has two other possibilities. The Gemara says if it was nishtamish bohen al yidei chamin, if he used it in boiling liquid, kigon hayoros, hakum kumusin, mechami chamin, a tea kettle, or a pot, or some other kli that you use in boiling water, so then you have to do what we call hagola. Hagola means that you put the kli into a larger kli of boiling water. That's the best way to do hagola. We'll see the Gemara later on has an exception to that rule. There are certain cases in which there are other tricks that you can do if you can't do this regular procedure. But the regular procedure for hagola is to put the kli into another kli that has boiling water, and that is machshir the kli. That kashes the kli and renders it fit for use. And then the Gemara has a final option, and that is dvarim shenishtamish bohen al yidei ha'or. If you use this item, this kli in fire, like a shpud, like an askala, like a spit, or a skillet, some kind of a grill, it's grilling season, right? So if you use an item in the fire, and it touches the food, of course, so that item requires what we call libun. Libun means that you have to put it back into the fire. Just like you used it in the fire, so too you would have to put it back into the fire. So why do we have these different types of hechshers? I sort of hinted to it in my last statement. Where do these different types of hechsher come from? So Rashi, earlier, in the beginning of the Gemara, when he quotes the Pasuk in Parshas Matos that we kept on referring to throughout the discussions of Tfilas Kelim, look back to Dibur Maskal Kol, Kol Davar Asher Yavo Bo Esh. The Pasuk in Matos says that when Bnei Yisrael brought back Kelim from Midian, so they had to kasher them and they had to be tovo them. So the Pasuk says, Kol Davar Asher Yavo Bo Esh, Tavir Bo Esh Vitoher. Anything that's used in fire, tavir ba'esh, you should put into fire, meaning you should be malabein the kli, and then the toher teaches me, hosef l'cha akosef tayra acheres, that's the tefilas kelim. So Rashi writes, kol davar shiyava ba'esh, shenishtam shubo b'nei midyon al yidei ha'or, tavir ba'esh. If the b'nei midyon used it in the fire, then you have to put it into the fire. Ke'ein bolo le'iser yafli tanu. Just like the iser was nivla, was absorbed into the kli, so too, you have to expel the iser. You have to put the kli through a procedure, through a process that will spit out the iser, to be pole, to be maflit the iser. Kida amran, as we say in different cases, says Rashi, in different contexts, kibolo kachpolto. Kibolo kachpolto. That's the key phrase that Rashi has. Kibolo kachpolto. Why do you have to be malabin a kli that was used in the fire? That's because kibolo kachpolto. Just like the belia, the absorption of iser, occurred through the fire, so too, the only way that it's going to leave the kli is through the fire. So this is the principle that some call something a little different. Some refer to this principle as Kederach tashmisho kach hechshero. Kitashmisho kach hechshero. It's the same idea. It's the same way you use it, so too you have to be machshir it. The same way, the same type of heat that was employed in order to be mavliya, in order to put the bliya into the kli, that's the same kind of heat that has to be used in order to take the bliya out, in order to be machshir the kli. So even though that Rashi is earlier in the Gemara, but that's really the yesod of this braisa later on at the end of the Amud. That's why the braisa sets forth this principle that if you've used it b'chamin, then you have to do hagola. If you've used the kli be'esh and it was nivla, this was nivla be'esh, so then you would have to do liban. This statement that Rashi makes, kibolo kach polto, where did he get this from? It's a nice idea. It's a fancy. It's a good phrase to use. Seems like a pretty sharp comment, but where did he get this? He says, Kida Omer, like the Gemara says. Where does the Gemara say? So the truth is, the Gemara says in at least two places. The Gemara on the next daf uses this principle. The Gemara tells a story in discussing the case of Yorah Gedola. Yorah Gedola, let's say you have a large pot, and you don't know, you can't put the large pot into another kli. You don't have a pot that's larger than that pot. So what do you do? How do you do hagala for that kli? So Gemara tells a story. Tashma, the hahu duda, the havoy beirav. There was this duda, there was this large urn that beirav, I'm sorry, beirav ukva. There was this large duda that Rav Ukva had. Ahadale gedanfa, he put a little rim, gedanfa delisha puma, umalyu amaya va'artacha. He put a little rim of dough around the mouth of the kli, and then he filled it up with water, and he boiled it up. Amarava, Rava commented, Manchakim lemebeki amilsa, who's so smart to do that kind of thing? Ilav Rav Ukva. I think that's the proper girsa. Akavya Ukva, whichever one. The Gavar Abahu, Rav Akavya, Rav Ukva, is a Gavar Rabbi, he's a great man, so he knows to do this, to put the gedan for the lisha, to put the dough around the rim of the pot. Why did he do that? Kasava kibola kach polto. He holds kibola kach polto, mabola benitzotzos, hapolto benitzotzos. Just like the iser was nivla, was absorbed into the kli benitzotzos with splattering, the rim of the pot doesn't have liquid cooking directly in it. It's that when the liquid is cooking in the pot, it splatters up. So sometimes it'll splatter here, sometimes it'll splatter there. So it's not like we know for sure that all the parts of the rim will get the splattering, but if you use the pot long enough, mistama, all parts of the rim did get the splattering at some point in time. But the problem is, if you're going to do hagala just by filling up the pot with water and letting it boil over and just splatter, maybe it'll splatter here, but not on the other side. Maybe it'll splatter in the back, but not in the front. So he filled up, he made a rim around the pot right below the safa, right below that rim, even though that rim is not going to hold water. You can't fill up the pot and overflow it into that area because it's just going to flow through. But it holds the water there enough that apparently it ensures that the nitzotos are going to go to all parts of the safa. That's the way Rashi explains. That it ensures that there will be splatterings through this hagola, this one-time cooking, there will be splatterings on all parts of the rim. So that's why he put this extra gedanfa around the rim so that the mouth of the pot will get nitzotos, it'll get splattering. But what do you see from here? That the Gemara in Avodah Zarah is saying, kibolo kach polto applies not only to say, kederech tashmisho kach hechshero, that if you use something in boiling liquid, then the only way to be machshir it is with hagola, but even within hagola, even within this category of hechsher, it depends how it was nivla. If it was nivla benitzotos, it's enough that you machshir it benitzotzos. You don't have to boil up a pot. You don't have to put this pot into another boiling pot so that the rim, the lip of the pot, will actually be in a kli rishon, a kli on the fire with boiling water in that kli in order to do hagola for that rim of the pot. No. Since the iser was only nivla in the rim of the pot benitzotzos, so then kibolo kach polto tells me that it's enough to do hechsher benitzotzos. Similarly, there's a Gemara in Psochim. The Gemara Psachim and Daf Lamed Amid Beis says that by an eitz poror, a wooden mixing spoon, magila baroschin ubekli rishon. You magil it in boiling water in a kli rishon, kasava kibola kach polta. Again, kibola kach polta, what does that mean? So there are different mefarshim who are explaining, well, what's the chiddush over here? So some want to suggest, since the spoon, the mixing spoon, is used in a kli rishon al ha'esh, you will mix the kedera sometimes when it's still on the fire. So it must have a hagala beroschin ubekli rishon. It has to be dafka with a kli rishon al gabe ha'esh. It has to be on the fire because that's the normal way that it was used. But Mefarshim do point out, there's a whole discussion in the Shulchan Aruch, what happens if, let's say, I used a particular utensil, and it was used in a Kli Rishon, but the Kli Rishon was not boiling, it was a little bit below boiling, it wasn't 212. Let's say, I know it was 180. There are certain, in certain manufacturing establishments, there are the systems are so exact, they know exactly what the temperature is for the boiling. And in certain cases, you really can't use boiling water. You have to use very hot water, but not quite boiling water. So the poskim say, the Gra, in the Bira Gra, in Arachayim, in Uchus Pesach, a lot of these halachas of Asher Kelim appear in Uchus Pesach. It's in Tofnun Aleph and Tofnun Beis. So the Bira Gra, commenting on the Ramah, in Tofnun Beis, Sif Aleph, Bira Gra, and Sif Kot Nches, he actually says that it's not necessary to have Roschim Dafka. It depends how hot the water was. Kabbalah Kachbolto tells me that whatever heat you were using, it's definitely Yatzo Letesbo, but whatever heat you were using from Yatzo Letesbo until Roschim, from Yatzo Letesbo, which is Tzimach Logos HaPoskim also, anywhere between 110 to 160 or whatever, somewhere around there. But let's say you know you were using 180 degrees. So the Gra says there's no need to be Magil in absolute boiling water. You could be Magil in 180. So this is very beneficial, of course, for those companies that don't want to use boiling water because they feel it'll damage the kli. It could be that there's no need to use boiling water. Kabbalah Kachboto tells me not only do I establish the method, the category of heksher that has to be used based on Kabbalah Kachboto, but even within the category, right? If something requires Hagalah, even within that category, to know whether you need a kli rishon al gabei ha'esh, or maybe even a kli rishon that's not on the fire. Let's say something is nivla b'kli sheni, so we assume that kli sheni is not mevasha, but maybe it's mavliya, so we're machmir to try to be machshir a kli sheni, but you wouldn't have to be machshir a kli sheni in a kli rishon, lechora, because it was not nivla in a kli rishon. So according to this logic, you'd be able to pour off from a kli rishon into a kli sheni and put your kli sheni, and put that item that got the isser absorbed in it, but kli sheni, you could put that into the kli sheni, because Kabbalah Kachboto tells me not only I follow Kabbalah Kachboto in establishing the category of Hesher that I need to kasher the Kli, but even within that category, I use Kabbalah Kachboto to tell me that exactly the same way that the Issa was Nivla is the way that it's going to come out. The question is, even though we find that the Gemara is assuming that Kabbalah Kachboto applies not only to establish the category of Hesher, but even within that category, to establish what kind of a heat I need, the Gemara says that about Hagola, the question is whether it applies to Liban as well. This idea that Kabbalah Kachboto, Rashi uses the Lashon of Kabbalah Kachboto referring to Liban, because Kol Davar She'yavo Be'esh Tavir Be'esh V'Taher is talking about Liban. The question is how seriously to take that statement of Rashi. Should we assume all Rashi meant is really Kederach Tashmishu Kach Hechshero? Because that's really all he's saying. He's saying Kol Davar She'yavo Be'esh Tavir Be'esh V'Taher, you can't do Hagola if you use the Kli in the fire, because it's not the same way that the Yisra was Nivla. So you could say Kabbalah Kachboto and Rashi is a misnomer. Rashi doesn't really mean Kabbalah Kachboto. Rashi might mean Kederach Tashmishu Kach Hechshero. But maybe we should suggest, no, maybe Rashi is saying Kabbalah Kachboto. That just like within Hagolah, we will allow you to be Mashu the Kli in whatever temperature, whatever circumstance you had for the Belia, so too in Liban. Maybe the same should hold true. Let's say I have an oven that doesn't reach the level of Liban. Well, before we address that question, we have to understand what the level of Liban is. So let's look at the Gemara. Let's first establish what the level of Liban is, and then we have to talk about the case of an oven that doesn't reach that level. Many ovens do not reach that level. So let's look briefly at the Gemara in Avodah Zarah and Avayin Vav Amid Aleph at the bottom. V'yad kama malav nun, amar rav mani achatosha kli poslan. How are you malabing a kli? Rav mani says achatosha kli poslan until the outer peel of the kli, so to speak, comes off. Achatosha kli poslan. The Rosh quotes from the Yerushalmi a different lashon. Where's this Rosh? I think this is the Rosh in the Mishnah. The Rosh is in Simen Lamed Aleph. Yeah, about six lines from the top. V'haliban sh'amr v'hushayu nitzotzos nitzin heimenu. Nitzotzos nitzenei menu. This is a Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi says that Liban is not achetashe klipasa until the thin outer layer of the kli comes off, but rather nitzotzos nitzen. You need that the sparks are flying. So the Pupula Charifta at the bottom of the Rosh, a little bit later, I think this is in Simen Lamed Vav, where's the Pupula Charifta? Os Dalid? He points out, it's a little strange, at the end of the Masechta, the Rosh quotes this Gemara verbatim. Rav Mani says, Achetashe Klipasa, and the Rosh has it. And yet on the Mishnah, the Rosh quotes from the Yerushalmi that it's the Shir is different, Achiyu Nitzotzot Nitzin. So what's going on? It's a steer in the Rosh. So the Mepharshim point out, you look in the Perish Yefei Enayim, which is the parish that quotes all of the Yerushalmis in the Gemara. It's at the end of the Gemara, right before the Rif. Yefei Enayim says he thinks maybe Hainu Hach. Maybe what the Yerushalmi is saying is you need Nitzotzos Nitzin. So the Bavli is just telling us that is Achetashe Klipasan. When you have the sparks flying, where are the sparks coming from? They're coming from the klipa. So if you apply a blowtorch for an extended period of time on each part of the kli, so the sparks falling off is the klipa. That's the very thin outer layer of the kli that's actually coming off. So maybe what the Yerushalmi had in mind is achetashe klipasan. Das meint, that means achinyu nitzotzos nitzin. It's not a steer in the rush. Hainuach, that's exactly the same thing. Now that's quite a temperature. Rav Moshe is quoted in the Sefer Hagolas Kalim. Rav Tzvi Cohen has another Sefer, not only on Tfilas Kalim, but on Hagolas Kalim. Rav Moshe is quoted in that Sefer saying that Achetashe Klipasan is 700 degrees. 700 degrees. If you have a self-cleaning oven, no problem. Self-cleaning oven, I think, goes higher than 700 degrees. Does anyone know how high the self-cleaning oven goes? I think 900, something like that. I'm not an oven manufacturer, but they tell me it goes pretty high. So you'll definitely have that temperature. But even if you don't have a self-cleaning oven, maybe there are some kinds of ovens that will go to 700, but I think most non-self-cleaning ovens will only go up to like 550 or 600. The broil is only up to 550. So the question is, how can it be matched with such an oven? Let's say a person moves into a new apartment, a new house, and there's an oven, a brand new oven, that was only used, you know, the person selling you the home tells you, oh, this is the latest and the greatest. It's the latest GE, the latest Kenmore oven. You know, we invested a lot in this, but, you know, we have to move out of the community. My husband got a new job. So you feel like it's such a shud. It's terrible. It's a new oven. Of course, maybe even $1,500. It's a real starke, you know, spitz of the spitz. It's the most beautiful oven. So you want to figure out, is there any way? It's so beautiful, but it's not self-cleaning. That's an oxymoron in the modern time. But okay. So it's not a self-cleaning oven. Is there any way you can kasher that oven? These are goyim gemurim. They definitely used it for iser, for lard, whatever nevela, whatever non-kosher food they were making there. So the question is there any way to kasher that oven? So at first glance, not really. Because whatever blia was nivla on the sides of the oven, that was a blia be'esh. Because we're not talking about what they were cooking. I mean, I don't think they actually put the meat on the oven. But whatever blia they had, they probably cooked with open pans, right? Because that makes the fluids better, whatever it is. They cooked with open pans, certainly, and they probably cooked basa b'chalav, and they cooked nevela, and they cooked lots of other things. So the problem is that what's touching the side of the oven is not with a liquid. The oven is not like a pot that you have the liquid. It's nivla into the pot. It's absorbed into the pot through the liquid. Basically, what you have is steam. The steam from the pot that's coming up, that's not a real liquid. Steam from the pot that's coming up, and it's being nivla in the sides of the oven, or things are dripping over the side. The dripping over the side, that's not a real liquid. That's not a significant liquid like cooking in a kedera. The question is, how can we kasha this oven? It's going to be a big problem. Because if the oven is not self-cleaning, it can't go up to 700 degrees. So the real level of Liban you're not going to be able to achieve. So how can you kasher this oven? That is the question that the post can discuss. So this relates back to the question that we just raised a moment ago. When Rashi says Kabbalah Kach Poto regarding Liban, what does that mean? Is he really saying Kederach Tashmisho Kach Hechshero? Is he really saying that Kabbalah Kach Poto determines the category of Hechsher? That if it was Nivla Ayidei Chamin, so then you use Hagola, and if it was Nivla Ayidei Ha'esh, then you need Liban. Within Hagola, we see that the Gemara already breaks it down even further, that we'll say Kabbalah Kapoto even within the level, that maybe as long as it's Yadso Lettuce Bow, if it was only Nivla Biyadso Lettuce Bow, I'm assuming any concept that we're not familiar with, you'll stop me, okay? But if it's Nivla Biyadso Lettuce Bow, which is a heat that that someone jumps back, someone recoils from that heat, but it's not quite boiling, then it's not necessary to boil it up to roast him. Or if it was nivla benitzotzos, that's also enough. So do we say that by Liban also? That if it was nivla in 500 degrees, never higher than that? It was nivla in a broil, but never higher than that, so then I don't need nitzotzos, nitzin, I don't need 700 degrees? Or do we say, no, Liban is different. Maybe Liban should be different. And if Liban is different, maybe the rule is by Liban, you need nitzotzos nitzin, you need achatasha klipas, and if you don't have that, maybe you can't kasher it at all. So the question is, why should Liban be different? First glance, you'd say, if the Gemara applies Kabbalah Kahpoto Lagabi Hagolah, so Lagabi Liban, it should apply the same thing. Why should Liban be different? So this relates to a very important principle, and this is really opening day in terms of Heksher Kalim. The first point that you have to address in Heksher Kalim is, how exactly is Heksher working? What's it accomplishing? This is brought in the Sefer Hagolas Kalim. Here's a beautiful introduction, a long mavo of like 10 different osios, where he discusses some basic yisodos in terms of Heksher Kalim. So he quotes poskim on both sides of the fence, on Rishonim and poskim and Achronim. What exactly is Heksher coming to accomplish? So at first glance, if you were to ask me, the Loshon Kabbalah Kahpoto implies that the Isser is created through Belia, through absorption, and the heter is created through what? Haflata. Meaning that the Heksher process is coming to expel the belia, the absorption that entered into the kli. That's at first glance what Heksher is coming to accomplish. And in fact, the poskim seem to assume Hagola is designed to achieve that very goal. That Hagola is designed to achieve Kabbalah Kachpolto. If the belia was al yidei chamin, so the plate has to be al yidei chamin. The only way that the belia b'chamin is going to come out is if you put it in boiling water. The question is, when it comes to libun, since you see libun is obviously a different procedure, it's not hagala, it's a little bit of a different procedure, and we know that the belia occurred in a different fashion, so does libun really just accomplish the same thing for the different belia, or should we say, for the belia al yidei ha'esh, you need a totally different kind of hechsher? In other words, do we assume by Liban that Liban also is only maflit the Belia? It's just that since the Belia was absorbed in a different way, it was absorbed through the fire, so then the way that you maflit that Belia is through the fire as well? Or should we say no? The reason why you have to put the Kli that was Nivla Yidei Ha'esh into the fire is because it needs Liban. It can't have Hagala because whatever Hagala accomplishes will not be enough over here. Somehow the Belia Yidei Ha'esh is too strong, and we'll have to discuss that maybe a little bit later in this year. The Belia Yidei Ha'esh is too strong. Hagola is not going to work to be motz that Belia. So what do you need? Maybe you need something totally different. You need a Heksher, a Liban, which is going to do what? Not be maflit the Belia, but rather it's going to be soref the Belia. It's going to burn up the Belia and destroy the Belia bimkomo. Soref es Belia bimkomo. That's a lotion some Rishonim have. Maybe that's the idea of Liban. That Liban is not really coming to be maflit the Belia whatsoever. It's coming to be soref the Belia. Why do you have to be sorry with the Belia? Well, that's because the Belia Yidei Ha'esh is too strong for some reason. Because it's too strong, Hagolah is not going to be maflit that Belia. So it's not going to be maflit the Belia. How can I be maflit the Belia? I have to be sorry for some Belia b'mkomo in order to be maflit the Belia. So it could be that the question as to whether Kabbalah Kachbalto applies within the category of Libun, in terms of different heats, that might relate to this very question. If you assume that Liban really is trying to accomplish exactly the same thing as Hagola, that really it's coming just to be maflit the Issa that was Nivla, then Lachor should be the same as Hagola. If we'll apply Kabbalah Kachpolto within the category of Hagola, we should apply Kabbalah Kachpolto within the category of Liban. Because it's all a function of the heat that was used in order to bring that absorption into the pot. But if we assume that Liban is fundamentally different, that somehow the Bli Yidei Ha'esh is stronger, and it can't be Yotze through Hagala, so then we can suggest maybe it can't be Yotze at all. Maybe the purpose of Liban is simply to burn the Bliya Bimkomo. So the purpose is to burn the Bliya Bimkomo. Maybe it's not enough to say Kabbalah Kapoto. Maybe the only level of heat that's going to burn the Bliya Bimkomo is Nitzotzos Nitzin, is Tashir Klipasan. You need a Zahi, such a strong heat, Ad Kedei Nitzotzos Nitzin, 700 degrees, until the Bliya is going to be burnt. So that could be the whole machlokas. If we assume that Liban is somehow different than Hagola, so then maybe Kabbalah Kapota will not apply within the category of Liban. But if we assume it's very similar to Hagola, so maybe it'll apply even within the category of Liban as well. So this, the Svarim point out, is an old machlokas achronim. Sam Rishonim also takes stands on this. An old machlokas achronim as to the nature of Liban, whether it's similar to Hagola or not. And as that plays out in this question, do we say Kabbalah Kapalto? Let's say I only use the tanner lower than 700 degrees. Would I still have to fire it up to 700 degrees in order to be malabin it or not? The Prima Godim in Aruch Chaim is the Mara D'Shmaitza. He is the source of those who are machmir on this issue. The Prima Godim there in Hilchas Hechsher Kelim LePesach in Aruch Chaim and Simetov Nuv. Tof Nun Aleph, Eishel Avram, Sivkot Lamed, that's the Prima Godim on the Mogen Avram, there in Tof Nun Aleph, Sivkot Lamed, he says that there's no middle of the road. When it comes to Libun, you have to do Achi Yuni Tzotzos Nitzin. There's no middle of the road at all. The Prima Godim is in page 4 of the packet. It says, Vim Shimesh Alo Eish B'li Mashke, Sorech B'Isser, V'chamei chiyu nitzotzos nitzin. The Prima Godim says you have to have nitzotzos nitzin. Afagav the shimesh be'ein nitzotzos b'machvas. Even though you may have used it without nitzotzos nitzin in a machvas, the kisui zeh. Afagav the kebolo kach polto, kof kof pei. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. The shiny shpud v'askala, the yeshloma the shimesh b'nitzotzos nitzin, Ushput Cham Kulo Kahai Gavna. What's he saying here? He says, you would think Kabbalah Kachpolta, this is all part of the Afal Gav of the Prima Godim. You would think maybe we should say Kabbalah Kachpolta by Liban too. Aye, Kabbalah Kachpolta, so then why didn't the Gemara say it? It says, Shput Va'askala requires Nitzotzos Nitzin. Why? So he says, maybe the reason why Shput Va'askala requires Nitzotzos Nitzin is because they normally are used in that kind of a temperature. They're used directly over the fire. So the Prima Godim says, you would think that Shput Va'askala are different. They taka require nitzotzos nitzin, but every other case would not require nitzotzos nitzin. It only would require kabbalah kapoto. He says mikol makom high lav mitam giul hayotze rak sorev beinon. Says the Prima Godim high lav mitam giul hayotze. Libun is not because giul hayotze. It's not because you want to take out something. Now this whole sugi is often referred to, and the Gemara Chul is referred to as giule klei midyon. Giule klei midyon means ligol, means Lahagil, to spit out, lahaflit. Says the Prima Godim, the purpose of Liban is not for the Gil Hayotze, not to take out the Belia, but Rak Sorevin, and you have to burn the Belia B'mkomo, V'chol She'en Nitzotzos Ein Sorev. If you're not going to have Nitzotzos Nitzin, if there's not going to be any sparks, then it's not going to be Sorev B'mkomo, it's not going to kasha. Rav Moshe, in a tshuva, in Igris Moshe, in Yerodeh Chelek Aleph, Simon Samach, he echoes the Prima Godim sentiment. He says also that Libun requires dafka Libun of Nitzotzos Nitzin, and he brings two rayas. First of all, Rav Moshe brings a raya from the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch in Simen Tov Nun Aleph in Siv Dalet Tehei, where the Shulchan Aruch delineates Hagola, the rules of Hagola and Libun. So in Siv Dalet he says like this: Kelim shemishdam shebohen al yedei ha'or kigon shpudim ve'askalos u'chiyotze bohem tzrichem libun ve'haliban hu ad shiyu nitzotzos nitzin mehem. Shulchan Aruch says, look, shpudim and the askalos, these things that are nishdam shebohen al yedei ha'or, they need libun. What's libun? Nitzotzos nitzin. That's it. The Shulchan Aruch is very clear. Says the Shulchan Aruch in Sifei, Kelim shemishdam shebohem b'chamin kfi tashmishon hechsheiran. However you use them, be ma'achshirit. Let's say you used it in a kli risho, the kli that was actually that the food was cooked in on the fire. Then you have to be machshir in kli risho, like a spoon that you stir the kedera. If you used it in kli sheni, achshir in kli sheni. O kli shem shtam shem b'iroi shem aar in kli risho lo sagile beherche the kli sheni el tzarech laros alav kli risho. Zokter Moshe. Why is the Shulchan Aruch being so exact when it comes to Sifei and saying, look, there's Kli Rishon, and there's Kli Sheni, and there's Iruy, and, you know, you just need the Hechsher. That's the same as the usage. But when it came to Liban, it said, you know what Liban is? Achi Unitzotzos Nitzin. Apparently, you see the Shulchan Aruch is distinguishing. That Kabbalah Kachbalta will apply by Hagolah. There are different layers even within the category of Hagolah. But within the category of Liban, there are no layers. There's only one Halacha, Nitzotzos Nitzin. And he brings another rayah. The Gemara in Pesachim says, HaTorah he'idal klichera she'ino yotze midei dofyo la'olam. It's part of the Gemara in Daf Lamed Amud Beis there in Pesachim. The Torah testified about klicheres that the belia doesn't come out of a klicheres la'olam. Where did the Torah testify? Torah testified in Parashat Tzav, because when the pasuk talks about the kodshim that you cooked up in kelim and the klei shares and the klei kodesh, so if you cook kodshim in a klei cheres, what do you have to do to the klei cheres when you finish? Break it. You need shvira. So what do you need shvira for? Just do hagalah, do liba, do something. Well, what do you? What's the? Why can't I just do what they call mariko shtifa? Just do hagalah. Why do I have to break the kli? Why do I have to break the kli? So that's what the Gemara says. You can't do hagalah because the bli is never going to come out. It's never going to come out. It's going to come out slowly but surely. So if it's going to come out slowly but surely, you'll never have a kli that's completely kosher. The purpose of the hagalah is we mash, look at, take out all the bli. Once all the bli is out, or at least a very, very significant part of the bliya, that whatever remains is insignificant. But the Pasha Pshat is it takes all the bliya out. So once all the bliya is out, it won't aser. But by Kli Cheres, the Torah is made. You need Shavira. Hagala, Mariko Ushtifa. Mariko Ushtifa is the Torah's Lashon for Hagala. So that's not enough for Kli Cheres, because the bliya is not going to completely come out of Kli Cheres. And yet, the Gemara Pesachim says the Liban works by a Kli Cheres. What's Liban by a Kli Cheres? The Gemara uses a different lashon. The Gemara Zvachim says, "Hachzara lekivshonos." If you put the kli cheres back into the kivshon, back into the urn, back into the furnace, that's libun. That's putting it back into the fire. So, how can libun work by kli cheres if hagola doesn't work? The answer is libun is different than hagola. Hagola's purpose is to be maflit the bliya. The Torah is heid al kli cheres that you're not going to be able to be maflit the bliya. But Liban can work even by a Kli Cheres. You can put it back into the Kivshon. Because if you put it back into the Kivshon, you're going to be sorry for Sablibim Komo. The Torah never said that you can't be sorry for Sablibim Komo. So I guess the Torah could have said, instead of giving you a mitzvah of Shvir by Kli Cheres, the Torah could have said, well, you could put the Kli back into the furnace. But I guess that's so obvious, because it's almost like you're making a new Kli, that the Torah didn't have to say that. That's almost like breaking it. You know, breaking it means you can't use it in its current form. You got to really put it back into the furnace. So Rav Moshe suggests, he says, look, both from the din that Liban works by a Kli Cheres and the fact that the Shulchan Aruch didn't distinguish within the category of Liban, doesn't that indicate that Liban is fundamentally different than Hagola? So that should tell us that the Prima Gadim is right, that there is no lower level Liban. There's no level that we would call Liban Kal, a lighter kind of Liban. If the Kli requires Liban, you got to go the full 9 yards. You have to have the full makor. You need nitzotzos nitzin, which we said before is going to be 700 degrees. So for an oven that's not a self-cleaning oven, that's going to be very difficult to achieve. It's going to be a big problem. Dayan Weiss, in a famous tshuva, in his Minchas Yitzchak, Chelek Gimel, Simen Samach Vav, he disagrees. Dayan Weiss suggests that maybe by Libun, you don't really need nitzotzos nitzin. Maybe that afal gav of the Prima Godim is to be taken seriously. The reason why the Gemara by Shpud v'Askala said that you need nitzotzos nitzin, that's because Shpud v'Askala normally are used by nitzotzos nitzin. It's really hot over that grill. You're really using it over the fire. Our oven's not really over the fire. There's metal separating. It doesn't get as hot. But if you put something in the fire, the spit is in the fire! In the fire! Maybe it will reach 700 degrees. So maybe the Shpud and the Askala require nitzotzos nitzin because they reach 700 degrees, but who says that other kalim that are used in the fire, not literally in the fire, they're used over the fire without a liquid medium, who says that those kalim require nitzotzos nitzin? So Dayan Weiss actually quotes a very interesting Chuvas Maimini. He brings Rishonim to bear, not just the Prima Godim, who's one of the Gedolei HaPoskim, but he quotes a Chuvas Maimini. These are Chuvas that the Hagos Maimini has on the Rambam. This is at the end of each Sefer of the Rambam. There are chuvas that the Chachmei Ashkenaz have. Chuvas Maimini. So the Chuvas Maimini quotes a number of interesting stories about Rashi's family. I don't know if you caught the fact that he was quoting Rashi's daughter, Rashi's granddaughter, excuse me, at some point. Did you notice that? No. So he quotes a minig that some had that it, when they were making pladuner and pashtida, these are different foods, I think different filled doughs, some are fleishig, some are milchigs, I think. But when they made these different kinds of filled doughs, so they said, afilu lo husak yofek kedei hasharas klipa mahani, even if they weren't masik, they didn't fire up the oven so much that it was till lachetosha klipasan, they said that was enough. These Chachmei Ashkenaz said that this was enough. Because before they actually cook another pladuna or another pashtida in the oven, they heat up the oven. They leave it hot for like 45 minutes, let's say. You can't just put the pladuna in the oven before it's really hot. It's probably going to spoil. It's not going to cook properly. It has to be a really hot oven. And it's not like the ovens we have that basically after 5 minutes, it's already up to the temperature. It's electronically controlled, and you know exactly what the temperatures are. You even have the control gauge on the front of the oven. Obviously, they didn't have control gauges, you know, in Germany and France at the, I don't know, in the 1200s, right? So it took a while. So they would heat up the oven for like, they would heat up this area for 45 minutes or so. So it would reach the temperature that it was at before. V'noma kabola kachpoto. Why can't we say kabola kachpoto? Ki eche de saglan v'asokas taner, havagav di yadu ad lo havi kulei hai, kema chazara l'kivshonos. Even though it's not like chazara l'kivshonos, meaning it's not actually unitotzos nitzin, so what? It is kabola kachpoto. What's the problem? So then the Tshuva's Maimon, he says, v'sha'alti Almonas Dodi Ri. I asked the widow of my uncle, the Ri. Wow, we all have chashuva uncles, but, you know, this person had a really chashuva uncle. My uncle, the Ri, I asked his widow, Va'amra, and she said, Shabala lohaya mocha biyodam. Her husband, the Ri, when he was finished writing his perushim on the Tosis, and he came home, and they would ask him his shailas, so he wasn't mocha. He didn't protest. He said, it's okay. Va'yu ofen tachas machvas achas pashtida achar pladun. They would bake under one machvas, under one piece of metal, the pashtidin and the pladin, the milchus and the fleshus together. They would be masik, like the ofim, like the bakers, between the two of them, which is exactly what we're saying. He says, V'chein nogin beveis Rabbeinu Meir zekeni, so too in the house of Rabbeinu Meir. Who's Rabbeinu Meir? The dodi must be the Rivam, right? The Reb Reb Mordechai. No, that's the Reb Reb Mordechai, Rabbeinu Meir. Okay, someone else. Ubeveis Moras Miriam Basbito Shel Rabbeinu Shlomo. In the house of Miriam, the granddaughter of Rabbeinu Shlomo, that's Rashi. So this is what they used to do. In the house of Rashi, they did this. The house of the Reb Meir, they did this. So apparently they felt Kabbalah Kapolto applied by Liban as well. So Diane Weiss says, maybe we could be makel for such a shita against the prima gadda. So the truth is, this issue actually relates to other questions as well. There are other rishonim who seem to say like this tshuva maimoni. What am I referring to? Dayan Weiss makes reference to this machlokas as well, and he quotes some other Rishonim who seem to flow together with the Tshuva's Maimony. So he says, even though the Prima Gadim certainly is Machmer, but once you have the Tshuva's Maimony in conjunction with some other Rishonim about other issues, maybe we can be Mitzar of them together and we'll have a Kula. Which other issue am I talking about? The issue that the Ra'ah is quoted in the Shach and the Taz and Simen Kuf Chaf Aleph talking about Hechsher Miktsas HaKli. Can you be Machsher part of a Kli and assume that the Hechsher is going to apply to the entire Kli? What do I mean? Let's say you have a Kli, but for some reason, it's difficult to be Magel the whole Kli. You want to be Magel part of the Kli. Well, let's say you want to be Malabain part of the Kli. You want to do a Libanon part of the Kli. But you want it to work for the whole Kli. So does that work? When it comes to Issa, when it comes to Belias Issa, we do say, we have a principle called Cham Miktsaso Cham Kulo. Cham miktsaso cham kulo, which is very similar to saying that heat conducts, right? A kli conducts the heat. Here it means cham miktsaso cham kulo, that if you have heat on one part of the kli, let's say you put a spoon into a boiling hot vat of nevela. So even though only that end of the spoon gets hot, but cham miktsaso cham kulo means that the heat passes through. Now, not only does the heat pass through, but the belia passes through to the entire kli, so it's not enough to be machsher part of that kli. You have to be machsher the whole kli because the whole kli now has isser in it. Okay, you have to be machsher the whole kli, but do you have to put the whole kli into a boiling pot of water, or can we say that just like chamek sasacham kulo works for the belia, maybe chamek sasacham kulo should work for the plata as well? Maybe hagola should be enough in miksas kli. That's the question. And similarly, you could say in the case of libun, let's say you used your spit on the fire. But which part of the spit touched the food? The very end of the spit. Nevertheless, we assume chamek sasacham kulo that the bliya spreads the whole spit. So do I have to put the whole spit into the fire? It's very hard. If I want to hold the spit, obviously don't hold the spit in your hands. But if you have special gloves that are not gonna that are gonna protect you, right? So can I hold the spit in the fire? Just exactly how much I put into the fire. Or do I have to be makshir the whole spit? So maybe I should say chametzaso cham kulo in the same way as the b'liya kavola kach balto. If the b'liya was through chametzaso cham kulo, maybe the heksher can be through chametzaso cham kulo as well. So the shach and simen kuf chav aleph, the taz as well. The shach in Sivkotin Yud Zayin and the Taz Sivkotin Zayin, they both quote the Ra'ah in the Berak Habayis. The Berak Habayis, the comments on the Torah Habayis of the Rashba, one of the classical Yoredeis Svar. The Rashba wrote a Murdik Sefer, so the Ra'ah agreed it was Murdik, but he had a lot of comments that he disagreed with the Rashba about. So that's the Berak Habayis. The Rashba wrote the Torah Habayis, the Ra'ah wrote the Berak Habayis, and the Rashba responded with the Mishmeres Habayis, protecting his home. So the Ra'ah in the Berak Habayis says that there's a distinction to be drawn between Hagola and Libun regarding this Heksher of Miktsas HaKli. When it comes to Hagola, Heksher of Miktsas HaKli is fine. You can be Ma'asher part of the Kli, Kibbola Kachpolta, what's the problem? But Libun, for Libun it doesn't work. Why? Why for Libun doesn't it work? Let's see the Loshen of the Ra'ah. The Taz presents it very nicely. That's why I figured it might be better to look at the Taz, because he quotes from the Gemara in Zvachim. What's the Loshen of the Ra'ah? Ra'ah says, Lefisha Heksher Halibun, this is the second to last line of the Taz there on page 5. Lefisha Heksher Halibun, Eino Osa Haflota B'masha Balua. Libun is not creating Haflota. It's not causing the Belia to come out. Elashu Mechala Ho'isu Shebesocho. It's destroying the Issa right there. It's Sarifim Komo. It's destroying it right there. V'imalabna b'makam ha-balua l'chud, eina machala rak b'makam ha-libun l'chud. Libun is Sarifim Komo, but only bimkomo. You can't say cham ektsas cham kulo to be Sarif where the fire isn't. A fire can only burn a b'liya if the fire is acting directly on the makam of that b'liya. But if it's not acting directly on the makam of the b'liya, it's not going to burn it. If you tell me that Libun is gonna suck out the Belia, so Kibbola Kachpolta tells me if the Belia can be sucked through the whole Kli, through Cham Miktsas or Cham Kulo, it can be conducted, so to speak, through the Kli, it can flow through the whole Kli, so then that's true Lagabi Haflot as well. Zakti Ra'ah, that might be true Lagabi Hagola, but not Lagabi Libun, because Libun is different than Hagola. It's not working in the same way as Hagola. Libun is being sorry from Komo. The only way it can be sorry from Komo is if the Eish is being applied to that makom of the kli that has the b'liya. So you would have, according to this Ra'ah, you'd have to be malabing the entire kli, even though the b'liya only occurred through chametz hasam kol. So what? The b'liya can spread through chametz hasam kol, but once you have the b'liya in the whole kli, and it's a b'liya through eish, so then the only way to get it out is through a libun on every makom of the kli, so then it can be sorry from kol. Yeah. How does he know this? So it's really based on a Gemara in Zvachim that the Taz quotes, the Gemara in Sarivav, that says that even if Bishel b'miktas hakli, ton mariku shtifa kol hakli. Even if you cook the kodshim in part of the kli, you need mariku shtifa in the entire kli. That's talking about kodshim, that's talking about chatas. So the Gemara there says that truma is not the same as chatas, truma is a lower level. So the Ra'ah says Chulin and Truma are going to be on the same level, that Bishel makes us a kli, you don't need Mariku Shtifa kol kli. But that's a special halacha legabe Mariku Shtifa, which is like Hagola. But Liban is totally different. So because Liban is totally different, you will need Liban b'chol kli. That's what he says. The Rashba, the Taz continues to quote the Rashba, who disagrees with this Ra'ah, and he says they should, the halachas should be exactly the same. He doesn't see any reason to distinguish between Hagola and Liban. The Rashba says that the halacha should be the same. He happens to be machmer. He assumes that you need heksher bekulo in both. But it doesn't matter. You can't say that the Rashba holds hagola is sorip and koma. That's not the point. The point is, I don't think anyone would say that. The Rashba would say hagola and libun are similar, so we know that hagola is maflit ablia, so then libun obviously has to be maflit ablia too. Why does the Rashba hold that you need hagola and libun and kolakli? That's because he disagrees with this whole point. He says that Bishal makes a kli telling Mariku Shtiva kol kli. Apparently, it's easier for the b'liya to spread than it is for the b'liya to come out. So even if cham ektsas cham kula will work to spread the b'liya, it's not going to work to be maflit the b'liya. Okay. But the key to this Rashba is that the Rashba argues with the Ra'ah, who who offers a fundamental distinction between Hagala and Liban. The Ra'o wanted to say Hagala is being mafli the Bliya. That's why Chamek Tzatzel Chacham Kulo could work either way. It works for the Bliya, it works for the Haflota. The Rashba says, what are you talking about? Hagala and Liban are the same. I happen to hold that it's not going to work for either of them, but basically they're the same in terms of what they're trying to accomplish. So if they're the same, then there's no reason to distinguish between the two. Okay. So Diane Weiss suggests, look, put two and two together. You got a Rashba together with the Tshuva Maimoni, there's room to be makel against the Prima Gadim to assume that even by Liban, perhaps we should be able to apply Kabbalah Kach Bolta. Because once the Rashba assumes that Liban and Hagala are the same, Liban's nothing special. So it's much more mistaba to say, not that Hagol is like Liban, that it's Sorif Mekoma, but rather Liban is like Hagol in the sense that it's Maflit Abliya. So if the Rashba assumes that it's Maflit Abliya, then it makes a lot of sense to say Kabbalah Kachboto, even within levels of Liban. So then you'll have a very easy Kula. You have a much easier Kula here. If you come into the house, again, going back to the case, you buy a new home, and it has an oven in it, and the oven was used for treif, so what should you do? Rav Moshe would say you gotta buy a new oven, or you gotta use a blowtorch. You gotta be able to raise that oven up to 700 degrees. It's gonna be very difficult. You use a blowtorch, you might ruin your oven. If you have a self-cleaning oven, there's no problem. Just use the self-cleaning mode. But Diane Weiss would say no problem. Even if you don't have a self-cleaning mode, just put the oven up to the highest temperature and leave it on for an hour or two. Meaning leave it on for the longest amount of time that you would have used the broil. Setting. Of course, that's assuming that it gets hotter over time. Is that really true? When they have a thermostat, does the thermostat in the oven really control how hot it is? If it controls how hot it is, so then it's not going to get any hotter if you leave it on for an hour and a half, more than if you leave it on for the first half an hour. I'm not sure what the answer to that is, but I think the post can say you should leave it on for a certain 45 minutes, an hour, a certain minimum time, a normal time that you would use to cook it. I think the Poskim assume that somehow it does get hotter. The constant heat that you apply to the surface will somehow make it a little bit hotter. So try to raise up the oven to the highest temperature, and with that, you will solve the problem. You'll be able to do what this is called the Liban Kal. This is a lighter level Liban, but a lighter level Liban is fine, because Kabbalah Kach Bolta, so then there shouldn't be any problem. I heard there are others who want to be Mitzarif Lakula to say that, you know, we can rely on Dayan Weiss, because there are two other points that some made. Rabbi Sobolovsky pointed out to me a while back that if you think about it for a moment, all of the Bliyos that are coming into a Tanur are really only Bliyos through steam. It's not a real Bliya. It's not a Bliya that the liquid is falling directly onto the oven. That can happen, but it's very rare. That's not Rov Tashmisha. That's not the normal use of the oven. The normal use of the oven is through steam. You're going to leave the pot open so that it has a nice steam and it has a great effect in the cooking of the item. But the bliya is going to be through steam. So the question is a bliya through steam even taken seriously, al pidin? Do we take steam seriously, or do we say the only bliya, the only absorption that we take seriously is bliya from a real liquid? So this is a whole discussion which is really beyond what we're talking about over here. But suffice it to say, the Shulchan Aruch at the end of Simen Tzadi Beis, Yerodei Simen Tzadi Beis, I forget what the Sif is, but at the very end, I think maybe it's like Sif Ches, somewhere around Sif Ches or so. The Shulchan Aruch quotes a tshuva of the Rosh, that the Rosh was machmer to assume that the Zeya of an item is Dino Kemohu. The Rosh is actually talking about a Mishnah in Taros, that if you have Zeya from a Dover Tame, is it going to be Metame also? That's the particular case. But they apply that to Isser Beheter as well, to Trefus. So the Shulchan Aruch Paskin is that we assume that Zeya's Mashkim is taken seriously, and it has the din of the Mashka. So if your Mashka is Treif, then the Zeya also is Treif. If your Mashka is Chalav, if it's milk, we assume that the Zeya is also milk. But the Achronim point out not everyone agrees with that Rosh. There are other Rishonim. They quote a tshuva of the Rivosh, who disagrees with the Rosh. The Rivosh assumes that we don't pass like that Mishnah, or maybe that Mishnah is only talking about Tumah V'Tara, it's not Issa V'Heter. There are different Chilukim that they have. So we certainly pass that Zeya is very significant. But since there are those who are willing to be Mekel, there are those who claim that even Zeya's Mashkim, mind you. I'm not talking about Zeya's Ochlin, by the way. ochel also has zeir coming out of it, because there's moisture in every ochel. If you wouldn't have moisture in the ochel, it would be rock solid. That's why it's soft, because it has some kind of a moisture in it. But zeir's ochel is a question unto itself. Even those poskim who assume that zeir's mashkim is to be taken seriously, but maybe zeir's ochel not so. But let's assume this zeir's mashkim, this shuman, this fat from the meat here, this fat from the nevela. There's liquid basar b'cholov. The cholov clearly has a bliya of basar if they cook basar b'cholov in there. So zeyas mashkim, the Shulchan Aruch paskins like the Rosh, that zeyas mashkim is to be taken seriously. But not everyone agrees. There are other poskim who disagree with the Rosh. So maybe we could be mitzarech. But makom tzorech is certainly a tzorech to throw out the whole oven. It's hefsid meruba. Maybe we can be mekel to put dayan wise together with the cholkim on the Rosh, with those who disagree with the Rosh, who claim that zeyas is not an issue at all, to say that. That maybe there was no problem to begin with in this fire, in this oven. You want to be machmer to assume like the Rosh that Zeyas Mashkim is to be taken seriously and there is a problem with the oven? Let's rely on Dayan Wise, let's rely on the Chuvas Maimoni and the Rashba to assume Kabbalah Kachpoto even by Liban. And finally, Rabbi Simon pointed out to me a Sefer, I was not able to find this, but he said that the Sefer Darkei Tshuva quotes from the Klach Shel Ezov. This is a Rabbi Simon collector's item. The Klach Shel Ezov. I never heard of this Sefer in my life, and I was unable to find it in the Darkei Tshuva. I really should go over to him to have him show this to me, because I've quoted him, and every time I quote him, there's always a laugh. But I'm sure this Klach Shel Ezov was a Merdek Gaon. Very interesting name of a Sefer. But this Klach Shel Ezov has the following interesting Chiddush. He says, even if you'll be machmer for the Rosh, even if you assume that Zeyas Mashkin is to be taken seriously, so if I have Zeya of Cholov, of Basar B'Cholov, that Zeya is Nivla into the Tanner, I have to be machmer the Tanner, because there was a Blias Isser in the Tanner. I have Zeya of Shuman Nevela, fat from Nevela, it's also to be taken seriously. The Shuman is liquid, let's say, right? So I have Zeya from the Shuman of the Nevela, it's also to be taken seriously. Zok the Klach Shel Ezov, even if you'll say that the Zeya is to be taken seriously and you have to be mashal the Kli that has Zeya, that the Isser was absorbed into the Kli with Zeya, but you only have to be mashal that Kli through Zeya. Meaning, you only need Hagala. You wouldn't need Liban for such a Kli. I shouldn't say you can be mashal b'Zeya. That's another question. Anything that... any time that you need Hagala, there's a further question that the poskim discuss, can you be machshir with Zeya? Is Zeya Hagala? It's boiling hot liquid. It's not boiling hot liquid, it's boiling hot gas, so to speak. That's another discussion. But even if you'll say that you need Hagala, the chiddush of the Klach Shel Ezov is that if the Belia took place through Zeya, through steam, you don't need Libun. Most poskim assume, no, Zeya is not significant enough to assume that that's called Nivla Yidei Chamin. It's Nivla through a liquid. No. That's like Nivla Yidei Ha'esh, so then you should need Liban. The Klach Shel Ezov is willing to say that, no, it's like Nivla Yidei Chamin, and if it's Nivla Yidei Chamin, Hagola is enough. If Hagola is enough, you're not going to put your oven into a boiling hot pot. But if Hagola is enough, there's a principle that the Ramah has time and time again. We'll come across this in Mitz Hashem and the Shiurim. The Ramah says anytime Hagola is enough, Liban Kal is sufficient. You can do Liban Kal, you can do a lower level Liban of what they call Kash Nisraf, that if you put a little straw on the outside of the item that you have the fire inside, the straw is gonna combust. Spontaneous combustion of the straw. That's just a simon. It's a simon that the fire is enough. So Liban Kal is always sufficient whenever Hagola is necessary. If you don't need a real Liban, then Liban Kal is enough. So based on the Klach Shel Ezov, what would emerge, that since the blios, rove of the blios, again, rove of the tashmish of the oven is not by spilling out, you know, what's inside the pan. It spills every so often, but that's not rove tashmish. We don't care about the miot tashmish that the liquid is going to spill out. We care about rove tashmish. Rove tashmish is through steam. So if rove tashmish is through steam, according to the Klach Shel Ezov, it's enough to be magil, that tanner. You don't really have to be malavi the tanner. So if hagol is sufficient, then liban kal is going to be enough. So putting all these things together, first of all, since the Belio was Nivla, the Issa was Nivla through steam, maybe according to the Klach Shel Ezov, Hagola is enough, and then Liban Kal would be equal to Hagola. Secondly, maybe steam is not an issue at all. There are those who argue with the Rush and claim that a Belio through steam does not require Hashem B'Chalal. And thirdly, Dayan Weiss argues with the Prima Gadim, and he quotes Rishonim, who assumed that we'll say Kabbalah Kachpolto by Liban. So we say Kabbalah Kachpalto by Libun, even if we'll say that a Bliya Yidei steam really requires Libun. And even if we'll say that Zeya is very significant, maybe you could still say Kabbalah Kachpalto. So this kind of Libun Kal, putting the oven up to the highest temperature and leaving it on for a significant period of time, an hour or two, whatever, that should be enough to be Machshir such an oven if it doesn't have a self-cleaning mode.